You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
I think I just heard it as your ringtone. Oh, we're so excited to be back here.
I think they've officially retired this, though.
No, they haven't.
Oh.
I think I'm officially retiring that joke.
Being is for doing, and we are back. It's the season premiere of the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Season 10 is underway. Hello, everyone. Jason J. Carter in the hot seat. Ladies, I have missed your faces.
Oh, my gosh. I missed you guys. I've missed the show. I've missed you guys. 10 seasons in, I needed my grace. I'm Julie Parton.
And I'm Kelly. Hi.
Welcome back, AfterBuzz. We're so glad to be here tonight. December 26, 2013 marks the premiere of season 10. 10 seasons of one of the best shows. No, screw that, AfterBuzzers. The absolute best show on primetime television. And you know what? Entertainment Weekly and the Huffington Post says that, you know, well, Grey's is the number one drama on television right now.
Right.
Still. So, I mean, goes this show. Great show. The Bomb. Hashtag TheBomb.com.
Groundbreaking in so many ways. We're so stoked to be back here.
Yes.
And man, summer felt long.
Too long.
It's pretty long.
It was a dry, dry summer. Star Session will be joining us next week.
Yes, excited to have the whole team back together.
Shout out to Star. And, you know, we got to start the show with some shout outs to our devoted fans who all summer, even when there's no Grey's reruns except for on Lifetime, have been tweeting us and talking about the show in anticipation for today. Sandra Bunbar.
They even started a countdown one time.
Yes, they did.
Which was so awesome. Yes. Alyssa Harding.
Yep. Ian Armstrong hit me up on Facebook today and he was like, I'm so excited. I'm just compelling. I can't wait. And I was like, yes, Ian, go hard.
Brianna Gurley, Chelsea. Man, so many people. Grey's Fix, Alyssa
yes,
H.
Grey's Fix.
You guys are so fun. I'm glad you're part of this with us.
Well, let's do this, ladies and gentlemen. Season 10 premiere was one for the books. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I was hoping for, I don't know. The writing was great. The show was amazing. You know, the writing was good. Of course, I guess they're not infusing the music anymore into the show because we rarely heard any kind of music towards it until the second hour.
There was a lot of composition this episode.
Yeah.
There wasn't as many songs. There was a rap song over a poignant emotional moment.
B.O.B. Why would they do that?
You know, I know, right? You know what I want Grace to bring me? The indie stuff that I never would have heard of that I love.
Yes.
That they used to do before.
Yeah.
You know, breaking new bands. Alexandra Petsovis, what's wrong with you? Are they not paying you the right money anymore? Do you not care? I mean, what's going on? But we start the episode. It was a two-hour episode, which Grace hasn't done a two-hour anything in forever.
Gosh, I'll tell you what. 2 hours is a long episode. That's a movie.
Episode.
That's a movie episode.
Right. It's like, you know, a cinematic masterpiece. And we had Weber narrating this and, you know, let's just go there. Weber was electrocuted, ladies and gentlemen. He was on fire smoking. It was like a smoked
for like
Weber.
For the first 45 minutes.
He was literally smoking all summer. Sitting down there getting crispy.
He was simmering. They're letting him marinate.
And they let him marinate for at least the first half of the episode. Mm-hmm. Find Weber. Has anybody checked on Weber? Literally, the sunset came back up and people are like, where is that
guy? How is that any different than what he's been doing the last couple of seasons? He does nothing. Where is Weber? He's probably somewhere mad. mad at the world. But this time he was electrocuted, so at least he was doing something productive.
So it doesn't, I mean, we don't have to jump to the end, but last season, whenever he was electrocuted and people were like, is he dead? Is he alive? Shonda said, I love that people are debating that. Mm-hmm. And that made me think he was definitely dead, and she just loved the fact that it was having a conversation about it.
Until she accidentally tweeted the table read where he was in the picture. So then everybody knew there was
big
a chance
Shonda fail.
He was going to make it through.
Is it wrong I wanted him to die?
Ooh. Yes, it's wrong.
I'm glad he didn't.
You're glad he didn't?
I'm glad he did not die. I didn't want him to die.
For me and my shows, I need there to be a range of ages. And he's the only older person
geriatric
left.
One? Yeah, I know.
He's the only old doctor. And they just can't. And plus, here's the thing. They have officially killed off all of Meredith's blood relatives. We can't start going into killing off people Meredith considers
the dad
family.
Didn't die. Yeah. Thatcher didn't die. The dad's still alive.
Although, speaking of the devil and Meredith's blood relatives, aw, we got ourselves a little Derek Bailey Shepherd in the house.
So cute. Would
and very him, healthy.
Would that make him a junior if his middle name's Bailey?
No. Not even close, oh. Jason.
I don't know. I'm not a junior. I didn't wiki juniors, Jules. You know, the rules of being a junior. I mean, apparently women can be juniors, too.
They can.
Yes, they can.
Really?
Yeah. Like, Carolina Herrera, her daughter's name is Carolina.
So the baby's going to go by Bailey, which is a girl name most of the time.
I think it's cute.
It is cute. The baby wasn't, but the name was cute.
Actually, what was so funny about the baby is, in Hollywood, newborns are allowed to work 20 minutes a day. So you could tell that was a different baby every single scene.
Yeah.
Different noses, dimples. They're basically like, bring us some Caucasians. We'll shift them out every 20 minutes.
I could have sworn, excuse me, that one of the babies was fake. But they were,
think all the kids are fake.
We're in a recession. We got to cut corners. We're going to get a fake baby.
We actually saw all the children tonight.
Yeah.
We saw all the babies. Yeah. Although, all the kids.
Kelly and I were discussing, I wanted to see Zola meet her little brother. They just sort of talked over that moment and described it happening, but we didn't see it.
Well, if it's anything like Days of Our Lives, Zola and the baby will be 10 next week. And then, you know, they fast forward, and then they know the next week they'll be 21. Yeah. You never know. Yeah, we saw the kids. They were great. And I'm glad that they got a handle on Zola's hair.
I'm glad that the baby's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Of course
No
are.
Baby drama, no, which is great.
Yeah, right. And Meredith laying in her hospital bed, the entire team not letting her get up. I like that. Yeah.
I like that the drama was not centered on her this time. Like, it was everyone else but her, and she was kind of left out of the loop. I kind of liked that.
Definitely.
But watching Ladies, though, didn't you? I kept having flashbacks to previous seasons of Grey's, and just the evolution of the show, how things have come, where Meredith was always the center of the focal point. And now she's a major player, but she's not as, it's not always about her anymore. And I kind of miss that sometimes. I kind of miss those certain elements that we come to love about Grey's, but I'm glad there's new elements.
I would say if the show was orbiting around any one character, it was still her. Even though didn't move.
Right, but she was kind of the mom now. She kind of took over Richard's spot, I think, a little bit.
Not only then, she was giving the interns advice, giving Christina advice.
Yeah, she's kind
getting in the thick of the Cali Arizona thing.
Yeah, she's elevated her status a little bit more to, like, the go-to person.
Exactly.
And I mean, what did you guys think about her being the family for Richard?
That whole story, Kelly, to me has always been genius. The way the way they just the different elements and then how they balance them. I think it's genius. And one other thing that's really genius is how it's interracial. Shonda and people on YouTube and on the AfterBuzz are always like, Jay, you're so obsessed with this interracial things, because I grew up in an interracial family. Like, my stepdad's Hispanic and then my sister's Hispanic. So to me, it's just so beautiful. And then to see that now Meredith basically had Weber's life in her hands, not literally, but her being on the table, but just in something so formal and something so what's the word? On paper, I guess. That was just like, wow. Way
to go,
Shonda.
Well, it takes a lot of trust to entrust someone with that, especially not telling them. And him trusting her that much that she would handle it, even though he didn't have a conversation with her and he didn't tell her about
it.
And how long it's been since he did it and still never had the conversation, just how he feels about her and what he thinks about their relationship.
But it, in previous, I'm sorry,
it's, it proves that he thinks she's the closest thing that he has to family. Mm-hmm.
But Derek said it when she was going to get married and she told Derek he cannot come to the wedding, and then Derek had the conversation with Weber about, you know, you consider her family, you treat her like family. Season six, where the lady was being abused, and Weber told her, you know, don't batter an already battered woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got, you know, they had the big blow up, and Derek said, you know, you don't treat her like an attendee, you treat her like a daughter, like she's family. Meredith Grey is family.
Mm-hmm.
So it was inevitable, but kudos to Shonda for having that as a catalyst for tonight, because I was blown away and I thought it was amazing. It felt natural. It didn't seem contrived or forced. It was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's not a lot of things that this show could do with DNRs. We've seen everything that we possibly could happen with him. Mm-hmm. So that was a moment. You guys all saw it. Were they going to give him exploratory surgery? Were they not? They were fighting over it. They couldn't make the decision. They decided to check his paper. That's not what I expected to see.
No.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. It brought in another element to the entire episode.
It was great. I thought it was great.
The show can't surprise you that often, but it sure did
And it added a little bit of comic relief as they're still fighting, and she's just so, why would he do this and not tell
me? I know, right?
She can't wrap her head around that being chosen to be that person.
Right.
And I thought that the way that it kind of played out, I liked it.
Well, let's expand on that, though, because we see, you know, Meredith has to make the call to save mm-hmm. Weber's life. And lo and behold, Debbie Allen, also known as Catherine Avery, just swoops in dramatic. That's my man! Don't touch my man! Basically, you know, and Meredith's like, you know what? Pump your brakes, Debbie Allen. This ain't fame.
That's one of the loudest anybody's ever yelled on this show.
Yeah.
Get him off that table!
Yeah.
And that's her personality in real life, I promise you. Debbie Allen was that full out.
I like that sassy character.
I liked it, too. I liked that she, you know, took charge, and she fought for it the way a significant other should. But especially in her position, when she knows what she's talking about, and she has that extra knowledge to go in there just kind of like elbowing everybody out of the way and just running things like, you do what I say.
Right.
I was with Christina on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, don't explore right now. Wait till he's stabilized.
But that leads us into Bailey, though. And mm-hmm. again, their relationship, because you saw two different dynamics in a relationship with Weber. Weber's also been a father figure to Bailey, too. And her reaction was so much more emotional. And one of the things I wasn't getting, or I wanted to see that we didn't really get a feel for until Catherine chewed her out about what she said last mm-hmm. season, was Bailey, why she was acting the way she was acting. You know, I get it that her and Weber have always been, you know, a team. But tonight it seemed like, no, this is like a father figure to me. Like, I can't lose this person. It wasn't about him being the chief. It was about her being, about him being her confidant, him being her pal, him being her you know.
She said, Avery's mom said that Bailey was making all of her decisions out of guilt. And maybe she was.
I think that had a little bit to do with it, but the relationship that I see between them, I don't see father and daughter. That's what I see him with Meredith. I think it's more of a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's taught her and made her the best that she can be. Somebody that she's always looked to for advice and kind of crossed that line over a little bit more like family, but not like a dad.
Sure, I can see that.
You know what I mean? Where it was just more like somebody you really trust, somebody you can explode at, and you can get away with that because you guys are so close.
Do you think, Kelly, that's a beautiful point, because I didn't think about that either, because I was so wrapped up in the emotional drama. But do you think that that's why Shonda wrote, do you think that's the kind of parallel she was trying to go for tonight, was maybe that was Bailey's role with the chief, and then maybe that was
I think so. I think there were three.
I'm trying to get it out right.
I think there were three, because we see kind of the significant other with the girlfriend, we see the father-daughter, and then we see the colleagues.
Okay, gotcha.
And that real kind of,
Exactly.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Three different elements of it.
I'm trying to spit it out. After Buzzers, it's late.
But I'll tell you what, Jackson's mom definitely reacted with the most passion.
She did. As a wife or girlfriend, I would think would. I know that's probably the way I would be, and I have no business, like, telling anybody how to operate or do anything. No knowledge of medicine at all, and I'd be pounding on the glass, too. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
That's a mummy!
Absolutely. I mean, so I liked that. I liked seeing that passion, and that it wasn't just kind of, well, I don't know. What do we do? Let's look at labs, and let's look at that. But I like the way that Meredith came to terms with that decision. decision too. She was thinking about her kids. She's thinking about her mom. She doesn't feel like she's making rational decisions. So she's going to look at the paperwork. She's going to let the science tell her what to do.
That was a good call. Yeah.
And tonight,
and that was interesting.
It was. And I like how you talked about she was thinking about her mom, because tonight we saw a lot of different people mention a lot of different things that have happened on the show previously.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
You know, Christina talking about certain things or about George, and
it was had Izzy mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was hoping Izzy would walk in somewhere and we would see
maybe someday.
A clip of Katherine Heigl. But
do you know that's actually one thing that I do not, like, I care.
Honestly, I would take them all back. Even Isaiah Washington.
For sure.
Oh, I loved him on the show. Like, I did. I loved his character. I loved him and Yang.
I hated his hair.
Anyway,
moving on. So
the hospital started out with a huge lack of all materials.
Right.
No blood, no medical supplies. They were just trying to decide if they were going to shut down the ER or not. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like they gave it much serious thought because all these cops and firemen came in.
Mm-hmm. Big mudslide.
I mean, okay, we had to think about how, because it was raining. There was a storm of the century last season.
Well, and we have mudslides here all the time.
Really?
We do.
I don't even like ice cream. Wait, why are you putting our secrets out there? I am on the LA diet, cigarettes and coffee every day. Just kidding. But it was a mudslide. Cause I was thinking, like, so what happens? What's the aftermath of a storm? Great, a mudslide. Mm-hmm.
That's common. I mean, there's several things. But we all know from television and life, they're not going to try harder to save anybody besides doctors or firemen and policemen. Like, they will go to bat for firemen and policemen because they're the first responders.
Right.
And as I said, they're all good guys.
Yeah.
Sure.
Some nice eye candy to have around for 2 hours.
You know what? Kudos to the casting team this season. Some hotties make hotties on the show that I was like, yes, eye candy. Because for a while, there were some ugly patients. I was like, why?
But everybody had an interesting thing wrong with them, too. There was a flesh-eating disease. There was a guy's colon that got pushed up to his chest.
That was disgusting.
And then there was
the chief, he died.
You know, the lady with her broken fingers. And we find out she was the triage person that was actually, you know, riding everybody's
mountain.
I was expecting a bigger reveal from what was in the house. I thought it was going to be full of kids, full of animals,
she just kept describing the house. She just kept talking about her crown molding, and I think it just really was, this was her house. This is obviously not the first time she's had to rebuild it.
Still, I mean, I was really thinking there was something cool
because
in that
house. Just the dynamic between her and Edwards was like, okay, so she has to have, like, dead people there, or maybe, I don't know, maybe she's Meredith's long-lost grandmother.
She said as much at the end when they're talking about, why would you do that? Why would you rebuild there? She says, you know, get new friends. Nobody else will have me. So the house was all she had.
Right. Ah, so depressing.
So she's like, I just want to live on the side of the house and save people.
She invested in that house. Like, you know, that was her family. That was all she had aside from the people that lived in that area. That's why the house was so important.
I really wanted to see it full of dogs.
Right.
Or something like that.
Or, like, I don't know, Barbies or something.
No, something really redemptive. Like, of course she would want the house saved. I don't know.
Well,
medical supplies. I don't know.
Homes are expensive. If you can afford to have a home, I would do everything in my power to save that from falling off a mountain.
Absolutely. Maybe it wasn't so far from
there. Well, I wouldn't build it on a mountain, though.
I know, right?
Well, I mean, that's always an interesting thing, because even here in California, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
People rebuild right back where they are. I mean, you know?
Well, I mean, case in point, my dad lost his everything in Hurricane Katrina and rebuilt the house right where it was before.
I know somebody that lost everything in Hurricane Katrina and then lost everything in a hurricane a few years later. Right after they rebuild on the same spot. Yeah. That's how it was in Moore, in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
People build their houses, losing them again.
Tornadoes, right?
Yes.
You know?
Do you know anyone who's had a tree just randomly fly through their window?
Actually, no.
No. I'm from New Mexico. That never happened. But since we're on the topic of the interns, moment of silence for Mousy.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm keeping
not like we didn't see it coming, though.
We sort of
heard last year whose contracts were going to be renewed, and here's more.
No, okay, well, let's stay in the Grays world, though. Let's stay in the show.
I can't stay in the Grays world when I knew that was going to happen.
The way she died was dumb. I'm sorry, After Buzzers. I thought, you know, if I got electrocuted, I would have done it way better than that. That wasn't even a good electrocution.
Have you been electrocuted before? Do you know what it's supposed to look like?
No, but I mean, like, it's like a shake. You know?
Every time I've seen it on TV, it looks like that. It doesn't. It's not as like that. And you know, her little hipster hairdo didn't stand up or anything. But it's not like that. I know. It's not like that on television shows.
No.
When somebody gets electrocuted.
Okay. Grey's knows how to start off a show with a killing. The shooting. Reed got shot. That was
she did die really fast. Right.
But her being electrocuted was like so, it was like really, she should have been trying to help Weber and then fell over, then fell in the water and got electrocuted.
She really did. Walk in the room.
Done.
Oh, Richard.
Done.
I'm sorry.
You guys are terrible.
I'm sorry I can't stay in the Grey's world. I mean, Tina, the actress, was committed to TNT's legend. She's in the Veronica Mars movie. She's got great things going on. I was expecting a crazy death, and I was expecting it an electrocution death, but for some reason that felt unceremonious.
It was very unceremonious. It was just like, hey, my contract is up, deuces. I got things to do.
I'll tell you what was crazy,
but it was
though.
Dramatic. She had to have surgery, you know, and it was great that Shane was the one to find her,
right,
because he's the one that sent her down there. And then it's like dealing with all of that and him having to kind of hide that fact, and he wants to come clean about it, and then he doesn't. And
I've been a Shane advocate since day one, and everybody's been a Shane hater, and now I'm starting to be a Shane hater.
Yeah.
I was acting like a child.
I've never really liked
his character. I loved him. I thought he was sensitive. I thought he was naive. I liked him. I thought it was fresh. But this one, he's just like literally running when people want to talk about it. Cool, cool, cool. Tears in his eyes.
He's got issues.
Wah, whine. Wah.
Well, all of them kind of do. They're all kind of whiny, more so than it was when, you know, when the show started out with the set of interns. Like, they're not...
Those interns were whiny, too, though.
Yeah, but in different ways. I feel like these are more like crybabies about just dealing with life, more so than dealing with, like, real, like, work stuff. They just can't handle anything. They have to cry about everything.
I was glad they were back, though, because when we had talked to some of them, when we talked to Jerrica Hinton, she said, well, we don't know.
We're coming
back in June, so I'm glad they're back. And I think that their role in tonight's show was leveled and balanced. It was good to see them. It wasn't too heavy interns, too heavy veterans. Leah.
It was heavy intern, though.
It was a lot of intern plot.
The way that I actually liked them so much more at the end of the...
Right.
Second hour, and just kind of seeing it finally grow into something and then kind of bond a little bit and really start becoming like a core team the way that the veterans are.
Sure.
I liked to see that, so I'm glad that they finally did that. I feel like it took too long for that.
Yeah. Leah, not a fan. Poor Leah.
Yeah, nobody likes Leah.
Yeah, because she looks like a velociraptor.
That's why people don't like her.
We just haven't gotten into her character
yet.
There's nothing.
Her only backstory was that she cheated to get into the program.
Well, but now we know she has a tie to Mark, so there could be like a whole other
thing.
Maybe that was his dad.
But here's the thing, like, she is not written to be sympathetic in any way.
Any way, shape, or form.
It's like they're not wanting people to root for her, and that's fine. Sure, she's like an anti-hero intern or whatever, but she's not given any bones to play with as far as becoming a likable character.
No. And I wonder if it's how...
It might be intentional. It really might.
Yeah, because there might be... She might be a huge arc where she could have been related to Mark, or she could have been the love child. Well, let's move on to children and infidelity and things that were just... Okay. Calzona. This has been people have been talking about this all summer, and then today and I was reading on the Huffington Post.
People talk a lot about Calzona.
Right. They're going to be a major, major, major pillar in this season.
Oh, really?
But you know what, guys? I'm kind of sick of them, because after the leg issue last year, the plane, and then just the whole Callie. It's always like, poor Callie. She can't catch a break. You know, she gets knocked up. She, you know, her baby mama almost dies. And then now,
Callie almost died.
Yeah, I mean,
she kind of talks
about it, because she says, you know, George cheated on me, then died.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's had
honestly, I could watch those two all day as opposed to some of the other lingering couples on this show.
Well,
so the slutty doctor, Hillary, gone.
Mm-hmm. She came and did her dirt and left.
I know, right?
That's what she does.
And Callie announces to the whole hospital what Arizona's done. Fair enough. But the entire time, I did not feel sad for Arizona.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Well, because we were kind of over Arizona after last year and her whole, just the leg drama and her being a whine. I mean, again, don't blame me after Buzz for saying that Arizona was whining about her leg thing, but the character, she was very woe is me last season, right?
The character was not shown in any other light besides woe is me entire season. So we just got tired of seeing her like that.
Well, I think that this is what I'm hoping to see anyway from this, is that her cheating is going to give a deeper insight into all of that woe is me. And then you can really, like, understand why she was like that and all the different emotional things that she went through for that.
Right.
Because I think that that's what the way that I took it is she needed a different kind of attention from someone she felt wasn't obligated to give it to her. And that was kind of the reason behind
Kelly.
It to kind of help her get herself back together.
That's why we keep you around.
Somebody's on their way to becoming a marriage and family therapist.
Yes, jeez. Am I
can I set up an appointment with you tomorrow?
I take appointments. Everything, yes.
I just don't know why I'm so self-destructive.
Okay, but that's really good insight because I didn't even think about that. Wow, you're on point. You're on the money, girl.
that's what I want to see. I want to see them kind of explore that in a way. So you're not looking at her thinking, okay, we get it. You know, this happened to you. Get over it. But all the different steps that it takes to get back. Because if you actually look at her character, even everything that happened tonight, she's got an extra pep in her step. She's a little bit more confident. She's a little bit more back to herself.
Her hair looks better.
Which we didn't see last season.
Right.
So I want to see that kind of play out. And how, yes, this was a horrible thing. And I'm not saying she gets a pass or anything. But you also have to understand the why she felt that she needed to do that. She was completely selfish about it.
Sure.
And it's one of those things. Are they going to be able to work it out? Can Kelly, like, see it on her side and be able to understand it? And can they, you know,
I would have wanted Kelly to have, because Kelly always reacts the same way. She's mad. She's emotional, monotone. Mm-hmm. Just get, like, shock, passive aggressive, everything, right? I would have rather have seen Kelly be like, you know what? Fine. Like, just walked away.
I disagree.
Still took action, but not in that emotional cry, like, blank stare, you know, the typical
kind of. I actually liked it because I actually liked that she didn't break down at the hospital. I liked that she was mean and cold because that's what I feel that Arizona deserves. She doesn't deserve to sit there and get to talk about it when she wants to talk about it because Callie didn't get a say so when she was doing her dirt. So why do you get to sit here and pull me out in the middle of my day and make me talk about something I don't want to talk about right now?
Also,
so I like the way that was handled.
I like it that her character is consistent. She's been the same. She's been the same since George. And I was telling you guys, she did exactly what I would have done in a similar situation. Keep it together in public. Take action immediately.
Yep.
I'm gone. I'm out of
the
this.
The dogs are gone. It's a wrap.
I thought it was great to see Derek be the one to have to deal with it.
I felt bad for Derek. Poor guy just got off of a shift and he just had a son. He comes home. There's like a weeping drunk lady and her kid in his living room.
And an angry choir at that too.
Yeah. And I actually liked that it wasn't Christina, that it wasn't somebody we would normally think. It was such an awkward kind of moment and he's kind of like has to deal with it. And I like
drunk Callie over there.
Yeah. Chugging the bottle of wine.
Like, just take it. Maybe if you have another one, you'll pass out and shut up. But I did think that the moment where Arizona came over and sort of realized what she's done and realized that this is not going to be solved in a conversation over a cadaver, that this might have repercussions that affect her as a mother and her future, I think that was powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I actually liked the way that how cold and stuff that Kelly was about it. This is an act that you're doing. You get to see her when you get to see her on your day. This is mine.
Right.
Callie's like, I'm not going to come over there on my day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was crazy is to see all of the friends have to choose sides because they're not choosing sides. They want to be there for both of them. So I think they really were subjectively, what's fair right now? Give the crying lady 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was so funny.
Softer side of Christina.
She's like, I love you, darling. Sophia's like,
you know, well, Christina, I'm glad. I mean, Christina's my favorite character on the show. And, you know, since we're speaking about couples, who were you guys there with me on this when I was like, not Owen and Christina again?
Yes.
I like it. I'm sorry.
I like
it so much. I just do.
I want Owen to get with like a big booty girl and just like, I don't know, like a Tay Tay Wanisha and just be done with it and let Christina be the lesbian she is.
She is not a lesbian.
I'm going to tell you why. I like it because I feel that his character makes her a woman and makes her look inside herself and figure out if these different types of life that she can have. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be that way. And we get a deeper, a softer Christina. That's what I like about them.
Okay.
Because even when they were together and she's crying and she's admitting that this is hard for her, it's something she would have never done before.
Right.
To anyone. And the fact that he got to step in a little bit more and it wasn't always just Meredith, to the point where Meredith was jealous a little bit, I think that that's what I like about the two of them together.
Whatever I liked about them, it was done seasons ago.
Punch it in.
This back and forthness, we're broken up. They're broken up.
Haters.
Yay. Nope. Now they need to do it one more time. Now they need to do it one more time because they forgot about this one position.
Oh, come on. They're just relationships like, linger, especially something like that.
I get it. The relationships linger, but this is a show and it has lingered minutes away.
I mean, we've had sequels.
Of every episode.
It's like longer than, like, I don't know, the Dark Knight trilogy.
I'm not excited. Okay, I like these two characters.
They're still going to be sleeping together for a minute, so let's just all deal with it and let's just be happy about it.
You know what? They can do. They can sleep together in the on-call rooms as long as they start dating other people and we see something else from this.
Well, I think we will. That's what I'm predicting, is I think we will.
That would be exciting. And I don't want it to be Owen. I want it to be Christine, and I want it to be somebody she's actually starting to fall for.
No, I want it to be Owen first, actually.
Oh, why?
And, like, shock her into figuring out what she wants.
No. Yeah. I'll tell you what. We've seen Owen, like, there and back. He falls in love a lot.
Yeah, he's a wuss.
He's half in love with several people.
Yeah.
He just wants to be married with a family and leave a poor guy alone.
Yeah, that's why he should find somebody that'll give him that.
Well, that's why I'm saying I would like to see him go and find that. Well,
I would too.
At least be on the way to doing so.
One thing I noticed about Owen that was really cool, he wasn't blinking 5 miles an hour this tonight.
These two think Owen's so sexy.
I love it. He's such a man.
Yeah, I mean, he's everything I want to be. You know, he's got that swag, he's Scottish. You know, he's got that hood. Hey, you know. But look. After Buzzers, if you agree with what we're saying, or if you don't agree with what we're saying, go on to iTunes, rate us, comment, leave us all the comments you want, give us 5 stars. We love hearing from you. You guys are the reason why we're here. Our audience, we're here for you. We love talking about the show. We're glad you guys are fans. Leave a comment. We'll hit you back up. And that's how we roll here at After Buzz TV. Owen and Christina, I'm sorry, I'm Team Julie on that one. But Kelly, thank God for you, because you have such a really good insight as to why people, you see us from such different eyes. You take all the emotion. You think, well, look, this is how people are. You're so real about it. I really appreciate that. It's so refreshing.
I think that's Kelly realizes this is how people are, and this is why relationships might be this way. Jason's like, when are they all gonna die? I just wanted him to die.
I wanted her electrocution to be more dramatic. Maybe her arm burned off or
something. Her eyes needed to pop out.
Okay, so let's stay on the subject of relationships. Kepner and Avery and Matthew, that love triangle.
Let me just tell you I got so much hate for not liking that whole April and April. Remember that whole thing? Everybody was so mad at me. I was so excited when he basically told her exactly what we have been discussing season.
Yep.
Was that it was all about her, super selfish, get it together. She didn't want him when he really wanted to be with her. And now all of a sudden, she sees him walking out of a burning bus and then she thinks she's in love.
Right.
And then she runs off and just picks Matthew because Avery said no.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
Her and Matthew broke it off because she was clearly in love with Avery. Mm-hmm. Avery laid it down like it is, truth bomb right there, and then instantly she takes Matthew into the chapel and is like, you're everything I've ever wanted, I want to be your wife.
Yep. I was like, man, girl, grow some.
There's no time to really, like, she doesn't give herself, and it could be maybe she does feel that way, but I don't feel like she gives herself enough time to know.
It wasn't
She's
authentic.
Jumping from one to the other, and I don't believe it's fair for them, especially each of them really wants to be with her, or at that time Avery did, and now she just, like, bounces around and is like, I gotta pick one, so okay, if he's not gonna take me, I'll take this one.
And then
that's crappy.
Although honestly that's not necessarily the conclusion I wanted it to come to, but if Matthew's gonna take her and she's gonna actually stick to this decision, they could be really good for each other.
Yeah, but if we're going outside of your world, he's on another show, so we'll see how long this lasts.
No! He is.
He is. He got cast in something else, but I don't know how long it's going to be. Matthew. So maybe he'll come back and forth. I really,
hopefully,
you know,
hopefully
it's
just a co-star role. Maybe it'll be like Ben. No, I'll tell you what. I'd rather have him gone dead out of here than have like non-existent husband
or like attachments. Yeah. And then
seriously,
she's calling
Ben. I need to tell you about my date. No,
he's
none of that
on another
crap.
Show too. I mean, they're booked.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's
like dream shattering right there. I'm picturing her him carrying her across the threshold.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Kepner that I wish she would evolve to and be strong. Because remember, she was strong for a minute there. She was like on her own. I'm woman. Hear me roar.
When she was hardly
for like an
like
episode.
That.
She was all Beyonce. She was all Beyonce for an episode.
I felt like she was going
the
that
pig
way.
Pig episode.
Right.
And I'm gonna hold it down at the farm.
And
no.
Then that was like the Halloween episode. She's the costume. But and then now she's like she's confessing her love to Matt, who has great teeth, and. I was just like, really?
I
like,
really it, wanted him to say no.
Me too. And
I
his
really
face
did.
Looked like he was going to be like, yes. kick rocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, I'm a
loser
too.
He loves her so much, though.
Why?
I don't know, you can't help it sometimes. You cannot help it if you fall really hard for somebody.
I mean, and she is sweet, and she really is, and she's confused, and I totally get that. And I just feel like, and I've said this before, and I get it. You guys don't agree with me, and it's okay, but I feel like she's settling because she feels she needs to settle for something. She just doesn't want to be alone.
She says, I see everything from 8 different views. And,
totally, bro.
But, if it's somebody you're going to marry, don't you think you would know as soon as they asked you the question?
I think that... Getting married is one of the hardest decisions because you think every day for the rest of my life will be different. So I see going back and forth, but there wasn't a time when I was engaged.
Won't be different or
will be different? Will be different.
It's like Wheaties every day.
That's that, what?
It's like having the same cereal every day.
That's no. This is what I'm saying. Like, you're making a decision that affects you if 10 years from now, 20 years from
right.
now, 60
oh, okay.
years
Got
from
it.
Now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're changing every day of the rest of your life. So there's a lot of pressure around that. People go back and forth. But never should somebody go from you're my soulmate to you're my soulmate.
Exactly.
Within a span of 30 minutes.
That's my biggest issue with the whole situation. Because, yes, the whole idea of getting married and making that life decision, yes, that's difficult. And you have to come together, all these different things. But the person that you're wanting to be with, I don't feel should be that big of a question mark.
Right.
I know.
You should know.
It's kind of like, you know, kind of like the whole thing with Bailey. She knew something was wrong with what she went in. She fixed it. It's like, you know,
when
right?
you know, you know.
It did feel like she was making that decision because Avery was so cold and honest.
Yep.
Right. That was probably one of the weakest parts of the show.
That he just basically told her, marry the guy if you want to, but whatever you do has nothing to do with me.
I'm done.
That was just, yeah, that was
to
really
the left,
honest.
To
Although
the left.
I don't feel him and Stephanie are genuine at all.
No, I mean, no.
Like, that relationship
she's
is
too
just,
spazzy. Like, I feel like she's always, like, sprinting
well,
somewhere.
Well, I don't think he takes her that serious anyway.
And
I think
she's
he
an
was
intern.
Really, I think he was really in love with April. He would have totally been with her, and she just like he said, she freaked out.
Yeah, had nothing to do with her.
And now he's over it. And that's why he was snappy with her the entire episode.
That's fine.
I kind of feel like that's what she gets.
A little bit, yeah.
You know?
But the interns, it was funny, they all give away a secret.
Yeah.
Secrets, we knew the one about Joe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we were surprised to learn that Stephanie Edwards
was a cheerleader.
Used to be a cheerleader. And that cheer, we were like, girlfriend was not a cheerleader.
No, whoever choreographed that. It was like, and then she tried to twerk into the splits. No.
But we did have Joe and Alex together in a really anticlimactic moment because they're finally together and they can't do it anywhere because they've had sex in all the rooms.
With everybody else.
Yeah. I think that was a good turn. I didn't see it coming. I saw this too with lots of chemistry. And I think it's good for him to have to suffer the repercussions of being so horny all the time.
I agree completely.
Well, you got to give them marks for consistency because Joe still had a shiner. You know?
That's the point. Jason was like, why
is she still the battered woman?
Yeah.
Like, it's fashionable. Like, you know, I got hit last week. It hasn't healed. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think it's smearing.
But towards the end of the episode, it got lighter. I was just like, okay, consistency, no. Consistency, not. I was like, really?
It was like super dark at
it was
the
like
beginning.
She just
like,
got
she
hit.
Just night. I don't know.
And I couldn't remember how long ago was this supposed to be? One day, 2 days? What just happened?
Where was that guy? I guess got punched never coming back.
Well, he's on another show, too. He's on the original. He's on a new spinoff of The Vampire Diaries. Damn it. You can't keep anyone in Seattle, Grace Mercy West, Sloan Memorial Gray, whatever.
You can keep some. Some of these people have grown up with me since I was a teenager.
Well, what else happened to that? I mean, we pretty much touched on everything. Arizona, Calzona, drama. Mm-hmm. You know, now they're having custody issues, which, okay, can we talk about, predictions, but no, we have other predictions, but I want to say that I feel like also, since they are going to be such a standard pillar this season, mm-hmm. I do think that Sophia is going to, you know, the relationship between the daughter, them being two moms and the daughter is going to come into play.
Oh, absolutely.
And that might be another issue, because we're really After Brothers. What else can they do on this show? I feel like everything's coming to an end now. With the Meredith and Weber situation, it's kind of like, that's just so culminating, you know?
I felt that way, but I also felt like tonight we were getting foundation laying with those interns.
No, absolutely. And just the way that it ended, them walking off into the slow motion.
Deciding to work together.
New drama.
They're going to be the superheroes.
Yeah, and I really think that Mark Sloan thing is going to be a shocker. It's going to be something.
Next week on Grey's.
I'll be disappointed if it's not.
Right. Because they had a lot of opportunities to, last season, to really go somewhere with certain things that were just fell flat. You're like, end scene.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But would you guys say that for a 2-hour premiere, season 10 was epic? Or on a scale of 1 to 10, was it maybe a 7?
To me, there were several things that happened multiple times that could have only happened one time.
I feel like it was good, but I think it was a little long.
Yeah, like Richard going into surgery a couple of times. Like, it just felt like they could have condensed it a little bit.
Yeah.
Stay in your chair, fireman. You know, we just seem to hear a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what it was. It was like a nice, refreshing hug to have this show back on
absolutely.
The air.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, I'm never going to complain about Grey's being 2 hours. But I do think this was a little drawn out as far as Pat is concerned.
They could have added some extra, like, different things. Because after the first hour was done, we're kind of like, okay. The rest of it's going to
He sounded like he was closing it off with this.
Yeah,
with
he did.
He was just, like, dictating something about how we choose to live our life. And we're like,
oh, it's
really?
Done. Wait, it's only 10 o'clock. Yeah. You know, but I do feel I would like to see the season less with the patients. And I know it's a hospital, of course, it's not going to happen. But I think that sometimes the patient stories are a little, it's like, let's just write something to keep them in there. But the real thick of it is the veterans and the interns. I think that let's just go that route then. Let's just have less of the patients, because there have been seasons where it has been less patients and more veteran heavy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that come back again. And also, if you're listening, Shonda and Shondaland, everyone, get the music back together on Grey's, because that's what put Grey's on the map, was the music and the emotion. I feel that that's kind of, they're getting very just filler. There's nothing that's like, oh shit, where you're like, oh my god, like, no, I haven't had one of those moments in forever.
I will say I agree with you on the music. I completely disagree. I love the patients. My favorite moments come from the patients, their stories, and all the different people. It is going to be hard to pull out all of these random diseases, you know? They're going in house territory.
Necrotizing fasciitis.
Literally, people are spewing poop.
I like the good mix of it. I don't want to see another patient-doctor relationship where the patient dies.
No, definitely. I'm over that. No, but still. I like the patients. I think it keeps it interesting.
Yeah, I think it keeps it a good balance. It doesn't need to be overly done. I feel like this storyline, it dragged a little bit too much with all of that. I liked the different facets to it, but it just kept repeating, like you said, and going back to the same thing.
And I don't want any more Dr. Deaths. Nope. I think that they need to find a new way to intrigue us. No more playing crap. It's done. But you know what? And we're done. So let's move on to predictions.
Do you want to do news and gossip or predictions?
It's our show. We do whatever the hell we want. We do predictions right now. Go ahead, start, Kelly.
So, like I said before, I really want to see this whole Cali-Arizona thing play out. I want Arizona to have to admit the reasons behind it. I want them to have a real conversation. I kind of want to see the struggle with the custody. I want Arizona to really see what she did.
Sure.
And I want her to understand it.
Gotcha. I predict that Meredith and Weber have another arc in their saga that's even more compelling, that's even more deep, where other issues arise, other resentments come up. Because Meredith, she's grown, she's evolved, she's a mother now. She's not the Meredith of yesteryear. Mm-hmm. But tonight you also saw a shocking side of her that was like, why would he do this? She said he basically kicked my mom's and dad's relationship to the curb. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see that, maybe more that, elaborate on that more, or maybe have some other drama come up with that, or maybe have them get closer and have them really have like a more positive relationship. Just something along those lines where they interact more, I guess.
Okay.
So we saw in the previews for next week that Marindir parenting struggles. Mm-hmm. They're going to find that having a newborn is completely different than adopting a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Alex and Joe still can't get it on, which is a funny struggle. I look forward to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the situation between Cali and Arizona, that could get interesting. Because mm-hmm. that's, with modern families and modern day couples, that's something comes up a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I look forward to seeing that. And I feel like right now we are in episode one of a long 20 plus season and everything's a little too perfect. Almost everybody is coupled off.
Mm-hmm.
So something's got to get shaken up in there. I'm not sure exactly who, but it's got to be some big breakups coming soon.
Yeah.
So I would love to see myself some of that.
Or maybe another marriage. Who knows? Maybe
definitely some marriage. I think that the marriage between April and Matthew is going to get like maybe all the way up to the wedding dress before there's more drama with Avery.
Oh God, she's crazy.
I would love to see her in her wedding dress. So she's going to be so cute.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope it's not with the pig. News and gossip, ladies and gentlemen. AfterBuzz TV News. So, as we found out a couple weeks ago...
I can't stand when Jason goes into sad voice.
Dr. Christina Yang, also known as Sandra Oh, she is Canadian. She is leaving Grey's. She finally decided that. She said that, you know, she did Christina Yang the character justice. She's given all she can to it, and she's walking away from the show after 10 seasons, which, you know what? I was sad to hear that because mm-hmm. Christina Yang and Meredith have been... You can't have Grey's without Yang. I'm sorry. You just can't. Who's going to... You know, you can get rid of Teddy. You can get rid of other people, but you cannot get rid of Yang, and so she's done. But you know what? I think it's time, if that's the case, and I think that Christina Yang has for sure... evolved and just really become the woman that I knew she was.
It's been 10 beautiful feet.
I mean, I remember when she first walked in, it was just a total bitch to Meredith.
And she still is.
And, you know, her hairstyle has never changed.
So we will miss Christina after 10.
Straight hair.
We don't even know if there will be an 11th Grey's season yet. We'll see. But Derek did say... And he's around. He said, this show has been so epic. Sean and I have done so much together. It would be a shame to walk away.
And ABC even supports. ABC says, we'll keep Grey's on as long as we can. And when mm-hmm. when the head of ABC or Disney says, yes, Grey's is a go, it could be on for a couple more seasons. But will people still be watching besides us and you guys at home?
And congratulations to Shonda on her third child.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Shonda's doing it?
Yeah.
Good for her.
She used a Justice Newell surrogate.
There you go, doing it. Awesome.
So, Kelly, did you have any news and gossip?
I mean, not really. Just that Ellen Pompeo recently gave an interview, and she was asked about the Emmys and what she thought about it, and she kind of talked a little bit of smack. Just kind of saying that she was a little bit upset that it wasn't as diverse as it should have been.
Okay.
That it was, you know, like, you know, Grey's Anatomy is a very diverse show, and that's what she really loves about it. And, you know, she has a kind of an interracial relationship in her right. own personal life. And so it's great to kind of see that on her show. And she just was, you know, bummed out that it didn't, that the Emmys didn't
Good
have
point,
that.
Mayor. So. I'll tell you what I'm bummed out about. Mm-hmm. I watched almost no Emmy shows that won. Where's Grey's? I know it's been around for 10 years.
Well, I do AfterBuzz for the newsroom, and I was so excited mm-hmm. that Jeff Daniels won. Very well deserved.
It's a great show. I agree.
I thought he did a fantastic job. So,
well, awesome. I will be traveling the next 2 weeks, unfortunately, for a big birthday that I have coming up. But I'm really glad to be back here with you guys.
Me too. And happy birthday to me in 15
yes!
minutes.
Yes. Ah. Happy birthday, Jason.
Guys, so
happy
glad. Thank you. So glad to be back here with you guys after Mothers. Thank you for having us back. Season 10 is now a go. Until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. Find me on Twitter at JDC Forever and on Facebook at Jason J. Carter. See you guys next week.
You guys should wish Jason happy birthday on Twitter. It would make his night.
It totally would. Yeah.
I'm Julie Parton. You can find me on Twitter or Facebook at JULIEPARTIN.
And you can follow me at Kelly with an IE079 on Twitter and Instagram.
Bye, guys. And see you
Bye.
Later.
See you
Have
soon.
A great weekend.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.